A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. It's a follow-up to our deep dive on industrial moving equipment. He wants to know how the hospitality sector's luggage carts and trolleys compare in weight capacity to the platform trolleys and hand trucks we already explored. And then, sticking with the luggage theme, he's asking about airport ground support equipment. The dollies and tractors that haul bags across the tarmac and into aircraft. And here's the kicker. Can any of that specialized airport gear actually be bought or rented on the private market?
This is a perfect trilogy. Industrial movers, hospitality carts, airport GSEWC, same fundamental category of machine, three completely different design philosophies. The bellhop's luggage cart and the airport baggage train are cousins to the warehouse hand truck, but one was engineered for customer experience and the other for brutal, non-stop efficiency. And right now, with air travel smashing passenger records and hospitality automation accelerating, the glamorous and invisible ends of this spectrum are converging in ways nobody talks about.
It's the same machine wearing three different costumes. The industrial hand truck doesn't care what it looks like. It just needs to not break. The hotel luggage cart has to glide silently across a marble lobby, while a guest who's never pushed one before navigates it through a revolving door. And the airport baggage dolly has to survive being slammed against a tow tractor at 3 a.m. in freezing rain, then sit idle for hours, then do it again, 24/7, 365 days a year.
The weight capacities tell the story before you even look at the design. A standard industrial platform trolley, 500 to 1,500 pounds, built for pallets and appliances and anything a warehouse throws at it. A hotel bell cart, 300 to 500 pounds. And that's not because they couldn't build it stronger. It's deliberate. The lower capacity is a safety feature disguised as a spec sheet.
Which is already an interesting inversion. In industrial equipment, higher capacity means better. In hospitality, the cart that can carry less is often the more thoughtfully engineered product. You're paying for the constraints.
Then you get to the airport, where a single baggage dolly, which looks like a flatbed trailer with a net, is rated for 5,000 to 7,000 pounds. That's 4 to 5 times the capacity of the heaviest industrial hand truck, and it's being towed in trains of 4 or 5 units behind a tractor that can pull 50,000 pounds total. The scale jump is not incremental. It's a different universe.
The spectrum is industrial at the middle, hospitality below it, and airport equipment towering over both. But here's what I find genuinely interesting. The airport stuff, despite looking like it belongs to a secret government logistics division, is surprisingly available to regular people. Daniel's question about the private market is the right question. Most people assume you can't buy a baggage dolly. You absolutely can.
The used market is weirdly transparent. There are baggage dollies on GovPlanet and IronPlanet right now, ex-airport units being sold at government surplus auctions. A 2021 TLD dolly with a 5,000-pound capacity, 96-by-48-inch deck, sold in March for $4,200. A 2018 Charlotte C80 tow tractor, 48-volt, 30,000-pound towing capacity, listed at $38,000. These are not hypotheticals.
Which sounds like a steal until you factor in that shipping. A 1,500-pound dolly from a government auction in Arizona to wherever you live costs $800 to $1,500, and you need a Class 3 hitch just to get it home. And the electrical systems are 24 or 48-volt DC with airport-specific tow hitches that don't mate with anything you own.
A comparable new industrial trailer, 5,000-pound capacity, aluminum deck from Big Tex or PJ Trailers runs $3,000 to $5,000 new with a warranty and a standard ball hitch. So the used airport dolly is not the bargain it appears to be unless you specifically need aircraft grade aluminum and those exact dimensions for some off-label use.
Which some people do. Farmers and construction crews buy these things and repurpose them as heavy-duty utility trailers. The 5,000-pound capacity and the aluminum frames that don't rust make them desirable, just not for moving luggage anymore.
We've got three tiers of equipment, three sets of design constraints, and a private market that's stranger and more accessible than anyone expects. Let's start where most travelers first encounter moving equipment, the hotel lobby. That bellhop cart looks simple, but its design is a masterclass in constraint engineering. Here's the thing that changes everything. When the person pushing the cart is a guest and not a warehouse worker, you lose the one thing industrial equipment takes for granted, a trained operator.
Which sounds obvious, but the downstream effects are enormous. A warehouse worker knows not to overload a hand truck, knows to keep the center of gravity low, knows to push rather than pull on inclines. A hotel guest knows none of that. They're jet-lagged, they're distracted, they've got a kid hanging off one arm, and they're going to pile four suitcases onto something rated for three, and then try to steer it one-handed across a polished floor.
The engineering response is fascinating. You don't just make the cart stronger, you make it harder to misuse. The weight limit printed on the deck isn't there for the bellhop. It's there for the guest who's never seen a luggage cart before and won't read a manual. The lower capacity is a governor. It means that even at maximum theoretical load, the cart is still stable enough to not tip when someone takes a corner too fast.
It's the difference between designing for capability and designing for the absence of capability. An industrial cart assumes competence and builds to withstand it. A hospitality cart assumes incompetence and builds to survive it.
The materials follow from that. Industrial hand trucks are steel frames, powder-coated, pneumatic tires, built to be indestructible and cheap to replace. A hotel bell cart is chrome-plated steel or aluminum, with rubber wheels that won't mar the flooring and won't squeak. The chrome isn't decoration, it's signaling. It tells the guest, this is clean, this is maintained, you can trust this. In a warehouse, nobody cares what the cart looks like. In a lobby, the cart is part of the experience.
Which is why the same company, Harper Trucks, sells the Bellman 300 and the Boss 500 as completely different product lines. Same fundamental chassis concept, but one is chrome with rubber wheels and a 300-pound rating, and the other is bare steel with pneumatic tires and a 500-pound rating. The Bellman costs more and carries less because the chrome finish, the retractable handle, the noise-dampening wheels. Those are features the industrial buyer would never pay for.
Then you get to the airport, where the design philosophy swings back to pure function but under constraints that make a warehouse look forgiving. A baggage dolly lives outside. It sits on a tarmac in Phoenix in July at 120 degrees, then gets towed through slush in Denver in February. It gets slammed into by tow tractors, loaded by workers who are on the clock with a 15-minute turnaround window, and it has to be light enough to not damage the aircraft cargo floor.
Which brings in a constraint that doesn't exist in any other setting, the aircraft itself. A Boeing 737 MAX has a cargo floor load limit of 150 pounds per square foot. That's not a dolly spec. That's the airplane telling ground support how heavy each bag can be and how it has to be distributed. The dolly has to carry 20 to 30 bags, but those bags are individually constrained by what the aircraft floor can take.
The weight capacity hierarchy is not a simple progression. Industrial sits in the middle at 500 to 1500 pounds, hospitality drops below it at 300 to 500, and airport equipment leaps to 5 to 7000 per dolly. But that leap isn't just about being bigger. It's about being part of a system where the dolly is one link in a chain that includes the tow tractor, the aircraft floor, the conveyor belt loader, and the clock.
Three tiers, three completely different definitions of what enough means. A 300-pound hotel cart is enough because it's moving two or three suitcases at walking speed through a lobby. A 5,000-pound airport dolly is enough because it's moving 20 bags across a tarmac at 15 miles an hour. And the industrial hand truck in the middle is optimized for neither scenario. It's a generalist in a world of specialists.
Take the Harper comparison further. The Bellman 300 uses 8-inch solid rubber wheels. The Boss 500 uses pneumatic tires. Why does that matter? A solid rubber wheel transmits every imperfection in the floor straight up into the cart frame. On a warehouse concrete slab, that's fine. On a hotel lobby's marble, it would rattle the champagne flutes off a passing tray.
Pneumatic tires need maintenance. They go flat. They need air pressure checks. They're one more thing for a hotel maintenance crew to forget about. Solid rubber is idiot-proof in a way that's valuable when the cart sits in a lobby for weeks between inspections.
The entire design philosophy is, what's the worst thing a guest could do with this, and how do we make that impossible? The retractable handle on the bellman. It's not just for storage, it prevents the cart from being pushed from the wrong side. The foldable shelf locks in the up position with a detent that requires a specific motion to release, so it doesn't collapse mid-load. The center of gravity is deliberately low and rearward, so the cart wants to settle back onto its wheels rather than tip forward when someone lets go.
None of that shows up on a spec sheet. You look at the Bellman 300 and the Boss 500 side by side. Same deck length, same wheelbase roughly, same basic L-shaped frame. And the Bellman costs more, carries 40% less, and looks like a worse deal on paper. But the engineering hours that went into the Bellman are almost certainly higher. Every edge is radiused so a guest doesn't catch a sleeve or a child doesn't split an eyebrow. Every pivot point is sleeved so it doesn't pinch fingers. The chrome isn't just shiny. It's a corrosion barrier that also telegraphs cleanliness.
This is where the self-service revolution changes the math again. Traditional bell carts were operated by bellhops, trained staff who knew the cart's limits and the hotel's layout. Modern hotels, especially mid-tier and extended-stay properties, are putting luggage trolleys in the lobby for guests to grab themselves. Companies like Seiko and Lakeside build carts specifically for this. No straps, no removable parts, intuitive folding that works the same way every time regardless of how you approach it.
The strap thing is a bigger deal than it sounds. An industrial hand truck uses ratchet straps or bungee cords to secure the load. A warehouse worker knows how to use those. A guest doesn't, and even if they did, the hotel doesn't want the liability of a strap snapping back into someone's face. So the self-service cart uses geometry instead. A lip on the deck, a slight rearward tilt, side rails that contain suitcases without needing to be fastened.
The weight limit becomes even more critical in that context. A bellhop can eyeball four suitcases and know they're over the cart's rating. A guest sees an empty platform and thinks it fits, therefore it's fine. So the self-service carts are often rated even lower. 300 pounds is common, sometimes 250. Not because the frame can't handle more, but because the stability margin has to be wider when there's zero operator judgment in the loop.
Which brings us back to that 30 to 50% capacity penalty compared to equivalent industrial units. It's not a penalty. It's a margin of safety purchased with aluminum, rubber, and deliberate underrating. The industrial hand truck operates at 80 or 90% of its actual structural limit. The hotel cart operates at maybe 60% of what the frame could physically hold, because the other 40% is reserved for the guest who's going to do something the engineers couldn't predict.
There's one more factor that's easy to miss. Speed. An industrial hand truck moves at walking pace through a warehouse, maybe 3 miles an hour. A hotel luggage cart moves at lobby pace. Slower, more stops, more turns. But the airport baggage dolly gets towed at 15 miles an hour across uneven tarmac, in trains of 4 or 5 units, with dynamic loads shifting as bags settle. That speed difference alone forces a completely different structural safety factor.
The same company, Harper Trucks, is selling a 300-pound car to the Ritz and a 500-pound car to a distribution center. And both products are correctly engineered for their context. The Ritz isn't getting ripped off. They're paying for a different set of problems to be solved.
The problems are so specific to the environment that they're invisible until you look for them. A hotel cart has to fit through a standard guest room door 36 inches. It has to navigate elevator thresholds without catching. It has to be quiet enough that a guest on the third floor doesn't hear it rolling across the lobby at midnight. Those constraints don't exist in a warehouse, and they cost money to satisfy.
The elevator threshold alone is a surprisingly gnarly engineering problem. You've got a 3/4-inch lip, a moving floor that might not be perfectly level with the hallway, and a loaded cart that weighs 400 pounds. If the wheel diameter is too small, it jams. If the deck clearance is too low, it scrapes. If the center of gravity is too high, the whole thing pitches forward when the front wheels drop into the gap. Every hotel cart designer has solved this problem, and none of them put it in the marketing materials because guests aren't supposed to notice.
Which is maybe the best definition of hospitality engineering I can think of. Problems solved so thoroughly that the guest never knows they existed. Now let's go from the marble floors of the Ritz to the concrete tarmac of an international airport. The equipment here operates at a completely different scale, and it's surprisingly accessible to the public.
This is where Daniel's question about the private market gets interesting. Most people look at a baggage dolly getting towed past the terminal window and assume it's some kind of regulated, impossible-to-obtain piece of federal infrastructure. It's not. It's a trailer.
A very specific trailer, a standard baggage dolly, the FMC Jetway 600, or the TLD dolly, is rated for 5,000 to 7,000 pounds. It carries 20 to 30 checked bags, either stacked loose and netted or loaded inside a container. And the design splits into two completely different categories depending on what kind of aircraft you're servicing.
This is the container versus bulk split. Wide-body aircraft, 747s, 777s, A380s, use ULDs, unit load devices. These are aluminum containers that get preloaded with bags inside the terminal, then rolled onto a dolly with a roller bed, towed to the plane, and lifted straight into the cargo hold. The dolly for this has a deck made of rollers and guide rails, so the container slides on and off.
Narrow-body aircraft, 737s, A320s, use bulk loading. Bags get tossed onto a flatbed dolly with side rails and a cargo net, towed to the aircraft, and then loaded individually up a conveyor belt into the hold. The dolly is simpler, no rollers, just a flat aluminum deck with tie-down points, but it's built for the same 5 to 7,000 pound load.
The tow tractor is the real muscle. A Charlotte C80 or a TLD TPX 200 can pull 20,000 to 50,000 pounds of loaded dollies in a train. That's four or five fully loaded dollies behind a single electric tractor the size of a golf cart. The thing is basically a battery with a hitch.
Here's where the aircraft itself becomes the limiting factor. The Boeing 737 MAX has a cargo floor load limit of 150 pounds per square foot. That's a structural limit. If a bag is too dense, if it concentrates weight in too small a footprint, it can damage the cargo floor. So the dolly's 5,000-pound capacity is almost never the bottleneck. The bottleneck is how those bags are distributed once they're inside the aircraft.
Which means the entire ground support system is designed backward from the plane's constraints. The dolly can carry more than the aircraft can accept in a single footprint. The tow tractor can pull more dollies than the gate area has room to stage. Every piece of equipment is overbuilt relative to the thing it's actually feeding.
Yet you can buy all of it. I pulled real listings. A 2021 TLD dolly, 5,000 pound capacity, 96 by 48 inch aluminum deck, sold on GovPlanet in March for $4,200. A 2018 Charlotte C80 tow tractor, 48 volt electric, 30,000 pound towing capacity, listed on Iron Planet at $38,000. These are government surplus auctions. The equipment rotates out of airport fleets and goes straight to the public market.
The catch is that as is means something specific here. These units have been run hard, 24/7 operation, minimal downtime, outdoor exposure. The electrical system's a 24 or 48 volt DC with industrial connectors that don't match anything in the civilian world. The tow hitches are airport-specific pintle designs. The hydraulic brakes need specialized fluid and parts that you're not getting at AutoZone.
Shipping is brutal. A 1,500-pound dolly from a government auction in Arizona costs $800 to $1,500 just to get it to you. You need a Class 3 hitch and a trailer or flatbed capable of handling the weight. The purchase price is the cheap part.
The real question isn't, can you buy it? It's, should you? And the answer is almost always no, unless you have a specific off-label use that justifies the hassle. Some farmers and construction crews do. They buy used baggage dollies and convert them into heavy-duty utility trailers. The 5,000-pound capacity and the aircraft-grade aluminum frame that doesn't rust make them useful for hauling equipment across a property.
Here's the comparison that kills the fantasy. A brand new industrial trailer with the same 5,000-pound capacity, aluminum deck, from Big Tex or PJ Trailers, $3,000 to $5,000, with a warranty. With a standard 2-inch ball hitch that mates with any pickup truck. With parts available at any trailer supply store. The used airport dolly at $4,200 is not a bargain, it's a project.
you're paying a premium for the wrong kind of engineering. The aircraft-grade aluminum is overkill for hauling hay bales. The airport-specific hitch means you're fabricating an adapter before you can even use it. And the lack of a title or registration pathway in most states means you might not be able to legally tow it on a public road.
The tow tractors are an even harder sell for private buyers. $38,000 for a used Charlotte C80 that runs on a 48-volt industrial battery system, a battery pack that probably needs replacement, which costs another $8,000 to $12,000, and you can't exactly plug it into a standard wall outlet. These things use three-phase industrial chargers.
The private market exists, it's transparent, and it's almost always a bad deal for anyone who isn't specifically collecting airport equipment or running some kind of industrial operation where the exact dimensions and aluminum build solve a problem. Nothing else does. The romance of owning a piece of airport infrastructure collides hard with the reality of maintaining it.
That maintenance is the hidden story. Airport GSE operates in one of the harshest environments imaginable. Temperature swings from negative 20 to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Constant exposure to jet fuel residue and de-icing chemicals and usage patterns that are all peak and trough. A baggage dolly might sit idle for 6 hours, then move 200 bags in 45 minutes, then sit again. That's hard on bearings, hard on welds, hard on everything.
Which is why the used units on GovPlanet often look like they've been through a war. The war against turnaround time. What does all this mean if you're actually in the market for moving equipment? Whether for a hotel, a warehouse, or your own property. Let's boil it down to three things that actually matter.
First one's the easiest to act on and the one most people get wrong. If you're buying a luggage cart for a hotel or event space, don't overspend on hospitality grade if guests will never see it. Back of house. Laundry, kitchen, maintenance, a powder-coated industrial cart at half the price does exactly the same job. Nobody's judging the chrome in the service corridor.
The chrome is a lobby tax. You pay it when the cart is part of the guest experience, and you skip it everywhere else. A $300 industrial platform trolley moves linens just as well as the $800 hospitality version, and when it gets dented by a dishwasher, you don't care.
Second one is for anyone who heard those GovPlanet listings and thought, I could make that work. The real cost of used airport GSE is not the purchase price. It's the logistics. Shipping a 1,500-pound dolly from Arizona costs $800 to $1,500. You need a Class 3 hitch and a trailer rated for the weight. And once it's in your driveway, the electrical system speaks a language your garage doesn't.
You're not registering it for road use in most states, so you bought a $4,000 aluminum trailer that you can tow on your property and nowhere else. Meanwhile, a brand new Big Tex utility trailer with the same capacity, a standard hitch, and a warranty costs $3,000 to $5,000. The math only works if the aircraft-grade aluminum and those exact dimensions solve a problem nothing else does.
Which brings us to the third insight, and this is the one that reframes the whole conversation. The weight capacity hierarchy across these three tiers is not linear. It's a function of context. A 300-pound hotel cart is enough because it moves two or three suitcases at lobby speed. A 5,000-pound airport dolly is enough because it moves 20 bags across a tarmac. And the 1,000-pound industrial hand truck in the middle? It's optimized for neither scenario.
The industrial unit is a generalist. It has to handle a refrigerator and a filing cabinet and a pallet of bottled water, none of which it was specifically designed for. The hotel cart and the airport dolly are specialists. They do one thing under one set of conditions, and their capacity numbers only make sense inside that context.
The question isn't which one is stronger. It's which constraints actually apply to what you're doing. If you're moving heavy, unpredictable loads in a warehouse, you want the industrial hand truck with the overhead capacity to handle surprises. If you're moving luggage through a lobby, you want the cart that's been deliberately underrated to protect guests from themselves. If you're moving bags across a tarmac, you want the dolly that can survive 10,000 cycles of freeze and bake without cracking.
If you're just some guy who wants a really cool trailer, buy the Big Tex and paint it orange. You'll spend less, you'll use it more, and you won't spend 6 months trying to source a 48-volt charger for a vehicle that can't legally leave your farm.
The romance of airport equipment is real. I get it. But the romance doesn't survive the first maintenance bill. These machines were designed to be maintained by crews with specialized training and parts departments with direct lines to the manufacturer. A civilian buying a used baggage dolly is adopting a piece of industrial infrastructure that was never meant to be adopted.
Which is maybe the most honest summary of the private market. It exists, it's weirdly transparent, and it will punish you for not being an airport.
Which makes the automation question unsettling for the used equipment market. Singapore Changi has been running trials with the Origo Auto Dolly, a fully autonomous baggage tractor that doesn't need a driver, doesn't need a cab, and doesn't look anything like the equipment currently cycling through GovPlanet auctions.
Here's the thing about autonomous GSE. When a fleet of auto dollies reaches end of life, there's no private buyer who can repurpose them. They're not trailers with a hitch. They're robots with proprietary navigation systems, LiDAR arrays, and software that the manufacturer will never release to a civilian. The resale value goes to zero.
If autonomous baggage tractors become standard at major hubs, and Changi, Heathrow, and Dubai are all moving that direction, the supply of used dollies and tractors on the public market could dry up within a decade. Not because the equipment stops existing, but because what replaces it can't be sold.
The golden age of buying weird airport surplus might have an expiration date, which is either tragic or irrelevant, depending on whether you actually wanted a 48-volt tractor in your garage.
Meanwhile, the other end of the spectrum is doing something equally unexpected. Some luxury hotels are now using industrial carts with custom wood veneers, essentially putting a furniture-grade skin on a 500-pound capacity steel frame. It's the hospitality and industrial design philosophies converging from opposite directions.
The stealth industrial cart. All the durability of a warehouse hand truck, dressed up so it reads as a design object. Form and function finally admitting they've been dating in secret.
That's where we'll leave it. The moving equipment spectrum from lobby to tarmac, with automation about to rewrite the rules and design blurring the lines nobody thought would blur.
Next time, we're going from what moves on the ground to what moves through the air, to pneumatic tube systems. The ones that still shuttle cash through Costco, lab samples through hospitals, and drive-through payments through banks. A whole invisible logistics network running inside walls.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The word Harmattan, referring to the dry, dusty trade wind that blows across West Africa, entered European languages in the early 1500s through Portuguese traders who picked it up in Djibouti from a local term meaning that which tears the breath.
Ah, that which tears the breath. Lovely. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed it, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps. We're back next week with tubes full of cash and lab samples.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.